I mean, the concept to imagine that all the continents, you know, you could push them together and they would all match and it would be on this planet that would be, well, of course, if you count the continental plane, it wouldn't be quite one quarter the size, but essentially very, very small, about the size of Mars. Shocking. Shocking. But when you add it to all the other facts, the size of the dinosaurs, the thinness of the atmosphere, the lack of a thick crust that would make the mountains, after all, people don't quite realize that the Rocky Mountains are only about 30 million years old. They don't realize that the Himalayas are only about 40 million years old. They think that they were there for, you know,
since the inception of the planet. Yeah,
not true. It's all new stuff. The Earth, essentially, if you go by this theory, and please, I'm not asking anybody to accept this theory. It's just a discussion. Don't jump on me and say I'm trying to change everything. But if you think about it, if the Earth grew, logically, it would have grown as a process, and it would have happened exponentially. It would have happened increasingly. It would have started out quite small, and then it would have grown very, very slowly for a long period of time, and then as time went by and as the energy increased, then it would have grown more quickly. And it kind of explains, if that's the case, why the last 60 million years were much faster growing than the previous 60 million years. So it's a kind of a progression thing. And there are proofs all over the place, except that people don't look for them. For example, you know, you have Enceladus. You've been talking about Enceladus lately, mm-hmm. That moon of Saturn.
That has gushing water now.
Yes, it has gushing water. Now, people think of it a certain way. Of course, I think of it from a slightly different point of view. I've been dealing with photos of Enceladus for a while. And if you look at the photos, you'll notice that there are cracks, if you look at especially the close-ups. You look at these cracks. Now, if you were to get down on the ground, it'd look like Arizona. You know, you get these big cracks and rifts that run up the planet.
Right.
So if you were to take a pair of scissors and you were to cut one of those photos right up the cracks and slide those cracks together, essentially you'd be making Enceladus a little bit smaller. You'd keep on sliding those cracks together. After a while, you'd have a smaller planet. And you'd notice that if you look at different parts of the planet, there's lots of cracks under the land that seem to have pulled apart. Now, if you consider that for just a minute, and then you consider the fact that it's like nature has gone and squeezed this lemon and is spraying all this water out into space, shouldn't that mean that Enceladus is getting smaller? I mean, how long has that water been spraying out into space? We look at it now and we say, well, okay, so maybe it's, a gallon a second, or whatever the amount is.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
A pitcher an hour. Whatever that is, then you have to ask yourself, how long has this been going on? Let's say, 100 million years?
All right.
5 million years? Pick a number. However long it's been going on, you have to multiply what you see now by whatever that time is. That means that there's a whole lot of water inside that moon being sprayed out over time. Why isn't it shrinking? Is there a big hole inside? In other words, if you take a water gun and you spray that water gun, after a while, that water gun's going to be empty, and then you're going to have a big old empty water gun. Well, I don't know why people aren't quite thinking about it that way, but if I were to look at Enceladus, I would say, well, if all this water is spraying out, who's making it? Where's it coming from? And where's the big hole that it's emptying? Because it must be there, or else Enceladus is making that water.
Just like the planet Earth did, based on your thoughts.
I'm not saying that it's true. I'm simply saying, from a logical point of view, if you look at it and you see the water spraying out, there's got to be some empty space that's coming from, because my water gun would run out a long time ago.
But you know, it makes you think, and it could be true, because some of the other explanations don't make sense. I just said right before the break, I don't believe that our oceans got filled up by comets bringing in water balls.
It really doesn't.
Ice balls. I don't believe it.
Now, the problem is that we've had a history. In the history, about 150 years ago, there were these thinkers, and some of them were scientists, but some of them were thinkers, and, you know, we got out of this idea that the sun was traveling around the Earth and all these very wrong-thinking type of things, and we realized that space was very big. About 150 years ago, thinkers said to us, well, this is how it all worked. What happened was that there was all this stuff gathered in one area of space, chunks and meteorites and all kinds of things, and along comes gravity, a late arrival, galloping up on his horse, and he starts spinning all this stuff together, and it all collects into a sun and all these planets. And that's how our solar system was made. Now, we have that same kind, oddly enough, we have that same kind of thinking going on today. That's pretty much what we teach in school. That's the kind of thinking that's been going on for 150 years.
Yep,
and I say, excuse me, there must be a Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster who created Superman, and it must be somewhere, because it doesn't make sense that they disappeared. Well, it doesn't make sense to me that there was a whole lot of stuff waiting around to be turned into a solar system. It just doesn't make sense. And if you go back and you look at meteorites, there's only one kind of meteorite that falls to Earth now that existed 4.5 billion years ago. And it's not the kind of meteorite that really gets made on a planet. Most of the meteorites that you get that fall from space, not most, but the ones that are made of silicate or made of iron, you can't get them that are 4.5 million years old. You only get a particular type of meteorite. It's called a chalandrite. And it seems to me that when you look at those, if you start taking clues from different parts of science and you construct a new picture, the new picture that you construct is different from the picture that we were told 150 years ago. For example, you have Jupiter. Jupiter, you know those meteorites that crashed on Jupiter and made those big explosions on Jupiter, the Shoemaker-Levy.
It's the comet, yeah.
Yeah, the Shoemaker-Levy things. Each one of those, there were 21 of them. They were all clustered together in one big ball. Each one of those is a planet killer. If one of them, the 21, had hit the Earth, all life on Earth would be destroyed.
Yep, in an instant almost.
In an instant. So what that does is it makes Jupiter into a kind of a meteorite umbrella. It seems to gather in all the big ones. If they get to a certain size, they seem to be gathered toward Jupiter. Otherwise, in our lifetime, it's impossible to believe that 21 of those planet killers could have hit Jupiter. Doesn't make any sense. And probably others will crash into Jupiter and we'll see them. It can't be that, I mean, I'm like Sherlock Holmes. I don't believe in coincidence. It doesn't make sense. That suddenly, we're looking up in space and 21 of these things crash into Jupiter and none of them crash into Earth. Never did. Or even get close. So what that means is that the likelihood is that Jupiter has grown big enough now to become our planetary umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And that 600 million years ago, it wasn't so big. In fact, probably not so big at all.
That's true.
That's why when we look at the surface of Mars, we see what scientists call the old surface. And on the old surface, we see these big meteorite craters. And when we see the new surface, all we see are these little small meteorite craters. Same thing on Moon. If you look at the Moon, you see in certain areas, you see the old surface, which has these big meteorite craters. And then you see these things that are called mares, which people think is lava flow. I really don't think so.
Very smooth looking.
Very
right?
smooth. And if there are meteor craters, they're small. That essentially means that Jupiter has grown big enough. Now, we could say, well, there's no more big meteorites, but then there's Shoemaker-Levy, 21, hit Jupiter. I mean, you can make that argument, but the argument doesn't hold up. They hit Jupiter. Each one of them would have killed the Earth. Every one of those 21 would have killed the Earth. Jupiter is collecting them. That means that in our area of space, Jupiter has grown big enough to protect Mars and Earth from those big giant meteorites.